Hey, grandkids, welcome to Opa 34, the day before Ken's big 39.
That's true. The 34 is before 39, so that would make sense if you were to open a podcast just by saying that, which you did. So, yeah.
Yes, it's nice of you to recite the numbers in a different order and in a nonsensical way.
Yes. Well, you know, that's kind of what I feel like I bring to the table here. So I'm happy to continue to bring it.
So it's not a mysterious way. It's a nonsensical way.
Well, and I wanted to pivot from that kind of nonsense. Well, I guess I do move in mysterious ways if that's what you were trying to get me to say. But I was really thinking that the next episode, our podcast will officially be able to run for president because constitutionally you have to be 35. So we're almost there.
Yeah, getting there.
That's going to be pretty big. I'm not saying that we're going to be officially running. This podcast will officially be running for president, but there may be an exploratory committee formed sometime after 35 drops. I'll just say that. So I guess this is the announcement of the potential exploratory committee. Have you noticed all these like little extra little things we've been hearing about election-wise? Like people are like, oh, maybe I'll run now. I don't know.
Oh, I have got to be honest. I haven't really paid attention. So
sorry. I know that politics is not really our purview on this show, but I just was...
it's hard not to see that there's a Bush and a Clinton involved in both sides again. So I mean that's pretty hard to get around. But outside of that, I'm pretty not noticeable on the subject.
Yeah, and there's kind of a weird parallel there. Almost, it's like each of them feels like they would be kind of a different, you know, the president than their other famous like family member, but it's like people are just going to associate them, I think,
with right. with the first one,
right? Yeah. I don't know, it is kind of strange that these families just what is it, it's like a tradition or something. It's like you learn from your father the skills to be a president.
I don't know what it is. I mean, there's an easy way not to allow it, which is don't vote it in. But a lot of people seem to be okay with the vote it in situation.
Yeah, there's people of both persuasions. So I don't know. Who? It's just interesting that you see the people at this time, you know, announce that they're thinking about an exploratory committee. This is kind of funny to me. So, I was thinking about forming an exploratory committee, Kevin, to actually look into our first topic tonight.
Okay. Let's hit the ground running.
Yeah. It's, what was our first topic?
Well, we didn't pick an order, but since that was...
Well... This is maybe a more topical one, like the, let's say, the more new, something that happened recently.
Okay. If you want to go that way, sure. To try to dig yourself out of this hole.
Sure. I don't know if that's what I'm doing at this point.
Well, it looked like you had one in mind there to run with, which was the more topical comment there. I all of them seem pretty topical to me. So,
well, I just wanted to point out that the Toba supervolcano erupted some 270,000 years ago. Wait, that can't be the most topical one, can it? Wow, no, I was thinking of a different one.
Yeah, that is the least topical one.
Wow, my topicalness is like way off today. Sorry.
Yes, it is a little off the map.
But no, I was thinking more of the well, it's related to that, really. The geoengineering report, I guess, that came out recently.
Yeah, and I was not familiar with this until you sent me the article. And, yeah, it sounds like there is a line of thinking that goes, okay, if we can't cut carbon emissions by a certain time frame, we really need to look into controlling the weather.
Yeah.
is essentially what it is.
Right. It's like a total Cobra Commander move. Trying to put up a weather satellite. Although, this sounds more like releasing chemicals into the upper atmosphere as a way to...
Well, there were a couple of different ways to address the problem. And shooting the particles in the atmosphere was one of the options.
Right.
The other one was finding some type of a cosmic tube to help suck the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
Wow, a cosmic tube. Now would...
Well, it's like it would be like a straw where you take the carbon dioxide from our perimeter and pump it out into, like, space. Like, where it would not come back to Earth.
So would the Silver Surfer or Galactus need to be involved in order to make this cosmic straw operate?
I would imagine, since people are researching this, and that it's at least a topic, that they might not need to be involved.
Okay, because I believe that the Silver Surfer wielded the powers cosmic, but I don't know if that's at all related to this straw. It just seemed like it could have been. I wanted to clarify. That could have been something that one of Thor's cousins wielded, maybe. The cosmic straw. He was like their butler. When they were drinking. Although I don't ever think I've seen Thor with a straw. So maybe that puts a little hole in my observation. Sorry.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's either of those suggestions does sound ludicrous.
The rapper Ludacris?
Yeah, yep. He's pretty smart.
Yep. So those suggestions sounded really smart, is what you're saying.
Yeah, these scientists sounded really smart too, just like Ludacris.
Well, basically...
He's multifaceted, man.
The
rapper, actor... Extraordinaire.
Triple threat.
Yep. He's going to go for the EGOT.
Rapper, actor, and extraordinaire. Like that triple threat, they looked at a couple of different ways to cool the planet. And
right.
The problem being that we don't quite understand everything there is to know about the climate and like what... You know, we've discussed the butterfly effect here before. You know, sometimes little changes can have unexpectedly big impacts.
Right.
So, especially with a complex system like the climate or the planet. I had mentioned the movie to you, Snowpiercer, before this podcast started.
Oh, right.
So I don't know if people are familiar with that movie. I don't think this is a spoiler because it happens within literally the first 5 minutes of the movie. So you're not going to remain unspoiled long, like once you start watching this.
Right.
But this imagines a future in which there is a geoengineering attempt, like the article discussed.
Oh, okay.
But it becomes too successful, and basically, like, the whole planet, like, freezes.
Okay.
Except for, that we know of, there's one train that's on a track that circles the whole globe. And so, like, all of humanity is on this train that's, eternally circling. And it has, like, some kind of engine that, I don't know if it's, you know, They get into it later, how it runs.
Wow, they did not have a whole lot of time to engineer that thing, I would imagine. To continue to go around the globe, build the track.
Right. Well, this is semi-spoilery in that you find out later in the movie. So maybe skip ahead 30 seconds if you guys care. But it turns out that before this climate change catastrophe, the person who built this railway and train was like mocked and like ridiculed as like an insane person, basically. But for whatever reason, he had this idea, and it turned out that all of the crazy specs that he built his train to were
exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some pretty good foresight. You know, a lot of people that invent new things are considered a little nutty at the first idea of it.
No, yeah, I would consider this guy today to be a lot nutty for somebody to start doing that.
Yeah, and you would think that it might take that kind of time.
Like, how many? I mean, just to buy all that property. Good Lord, to put your railroad on.
Well, and you've got to buy a lot of ocean, or you've got to get the rights from, the rest of the world to build over the ocean, or through the ocean, or under the ocean?
Hell, I don't know.
I didn't see the movie, so I really have no clue.
Right. I guess there might have been a map in the movie. Maybe one of our listeners can chime in to let us know. How did they deal with the ocean? Because it does seem like a problem.
Yeah, it seems like a major one.
But, I don't know. That seems maybe a little on the far side of, what could go wrong if we try to tinker with the atmosphere.
Yeah, that does seem like the opposite end of things. Like, they're thinking, at least the ideas in the article is, just as a temporary relief valve in general.
Yes. The idea being that we would have to continue this continue this climate geoengineering activity in order to, kind of keep having the effect. It's almost like holding a parasol over your head, basically.
Right, and you'd have to do it. Forever.
When you when you put the parasol down, it would be hot still.
Right. And it'd heat up quite quickly, I believe, was what the article said, too. It would not take long for it to recover to the temperature that it was going to be at.
Yes.
So, I mean, that just doesn't seem all that much worth it, either. If it's to the point where, it isn't really a temporary relief if you know that you're putting that thing down and you're done. It's a semi-permanent solution, when you start doing something like that.
Right.
In my opinion.
And it just seems to me that that's probably the most likely thing. And I don't know if that's, a sense of fatalism, but it just seems like people don't necessarily care that stuff that they do is bad for the environment, I don't know. Maybe I'm pessimistic. But don't you think so, too?
I think that some people just don't know. Some people outright don't care.
Right.
I think it's a mix of things, as usual. And even when you try, you don't know if it's enough or, there's still other options. For most people, there are other options that would help, cut things down that haven't been taken.
Yeah. And maybe in ways that could still do a lot of the same things, but just do it differently.
Well, and yeah, just dumb things, even proper insulation half the time, isn't there, especially in a lot of old buildings. Just reply. I remember reading an article, and it was a long time ago, that like just replacing all the single pane windows in the U.S. would do just large amounts of change. Like just something that simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even, hey, let's build solar panels. It's let's do double paned glass everywhere, and that will, you know, cut everyone's bills down. But I mean, I'm sure that those shady places, well, I don't know. Might be, those college places are quite a bit nicer now than they were in our day.
Which college places?
Dorms and off-campus living. It's getting a serious upgrade these days.
Yeah, I think the college experience in general seems to be, like, fancier and fancier, don't you? Have you been on campuses recently? Have you been to Kent recently?
Well, a couple of years ago. It's been 2 years now, but I've seen just some of the stuff that's come up in you know, alumni magazines and the such. And then I just remember back too that you were just saying how things were getting better. I always forget that we were only the second class at Kent State to go to Italy for a full semester, because that was one thing that. It's just like everyone's apartments now are in downtown Florence. I was just like, I had to walk a half an hour outside of town half hour out of downtown, I should say.
Wow.
To get to my place. And the bus system there was fairly useful except for where we lived. Like we were just kind of in a bum part of the city. So, it was just as quick to walk. So, that was, most of my exercise when I was there.
Did anybody ride, bicycles while they're there?
No, I did rollerblade sometimes.
Rollerblade? Yeah.
Yeah. I used to, there was a fort there that some Sundays I'd go down and just skate laps around the fort. But, there were a lot of people on, mopeds and, bikes. You know, natives, not us youngins.
They wouldn't trust you with the likes of that?
I don't know if anyone really looked into it. And I'm not sure that they had a bike sharing program at that point either.
These kids these days.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something different. But, yeah, I would imagine, and I guess I was talking about the replacement windows, how we kind of got the off topic there. Is that some of these newer places, I would think that they'd have nicer stuff like that because people are expecting better stuff now. Like, they're not expecting it to have to put plastic over their single-pane windows to help cut down on the breeze coming through it, which I may have had to do during my college days.
Well, you think that people don't like to do that anymore?
Well, no, I see it over just across the way here.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying that the newer places being built that a lot of college students are living in, I don't think they're as poorly built and that they're using something nicer like double pane windows so that it isn't as cold. But maybe I'm wrong on that front. Like, I haven't been into any of these places. All the places that have been built around here look quite a bit nicer than anything that I ever lived in, as far as even off-campus living goes. All the apartments, I dare even say that one of those places is probably nicer than the condo that I currently own.
Okay.
Because I've seen some specs on them, and they look, you know, fairly nice for what they are. Because even when the lady was looking for... At first, she wasn't going to move in here until I booted out baby mama drama. Her plan was to move into her own place, but around here. And a lot of the places that she looked at, I went with her. And they redid a lot of stuff at those places. Now, I don't remember looking at the windows per se. But even the older places really did a lot of facelifting that I think is quite a bit nicer.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, that's to the good, I would say, then.
Right. So, you know, maybe something like that. Just like I said, it was years ago that I read that article. I wonder how much that percentage has changed. You know, it's a fluctuating situation where people live. Because all these new places, I'm always surprised around here, all these new places start to fill up pretty quickly. Yeah. I'm like, how are more people here? Like, less people have to be somewhere.
Well, I think this area is growing, isn't it? I think Ohio overall is losing, you know, population.
Yeah. Like,
pretty central Ohio was growing.
Well, I think it stabilized recently.
Mm.
So, but it was still, you know, close to 2 million.
That's our local flavor segment. We like to bring you guys. What's up in Ohio or Pennsylvania? This week we focused on population in Ohio and central Ohio.
All because of geoengineering.
Yes. It makes sense.
Yeah. Connect
the dots, people. Oh, great minds.
Yes. Yes, we do think alike sometimes.
So,
But, yeah, it's pretty crazy what, but everyone seemed to agree that it's good to at least look into these ideas to, and I do actually understand that part, just to, get more money behind the research for it, in a worst case scenario kind of situation. I mean, this certainly is more of like an Armageddon kind of situation. Well, maybe not, you know, a comet hitting, but, yeah, like, they're saying that, this is kind of any of these options is like a last-ditch effort kind of thing.
Right. But, it does seem difficult, I guess, worldwide to imagine people using less, fossil fuels at this point.
Well, yeah, there are more people.
I guess we can hope for solar, though. Because if everybody can just use solar energy, there's a lot of it. And
well, and it's getting better.
Yeah. But, you know, these countries that are in the developing part of the world, I think they have a lot of solar energy available there, that if they were able to use that instead of fossil fuels, which their economies are starting to need more and more of because they're trying to grow, you know, switching over to solar would be a big deal. So, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, Ken, get it done. Start legislating with the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Right. The war-torn Democratic Republic of Congo. Central. Yeah. So, I got my best people on it, so I'm sure we'll have it done here pretty soon.
Oh, man.
Maybe in time for this podcast to run for president. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty interesting read, and it's a very extreme thing to have to do. But, yeah, it would be helpful if an easier solution presents itself.
Oh, totally. Well, I really like the ideas of they had of these artificial trees that would absorb carbon from the atmosphere, basically put it in, you know, filter it out of the atmosphere.
Oh, right.
And then they would be able to, hopefully run those on solar power. And so they would kind of be like artificial trees, really, because that's the good thing about a tree. It turns the carbon in the atmosphere into a tree. Basically, like, the tree is basically all carbon from the air, if you think about it. It kind of blows your mind. It's like they're turning this gas into a tree. That it's kind of like magic in a way. Or a Titan from Attack on Titan. Gosh, Revenge on Titan.
Yeah, I didn't even know how you came up with that.
Well, I think it's obvious. Certainly Aaron Yeager is out for revenge on Titans. It actually probably makes more of a sense. So they should probably change the title.
Oh, boy.
So, I guess speaking of transhuman developments here.
I didn't even know where to go. Honestly didn't.
The DARPA, the agency who brought you the internet.
Right, the internet.
Well, you know, that's not fair to say, but they were part of that, the group that brought about the internet, we'll say. Because apparently some guys in England were pretty instrumental as well. But always we were well researched here on OPA.
Yeah, I wasn't. I thought I had enough time to go ahead and do a little stretching there.
No, that's fine. I was just making fun of myself for not knowing these scientists' names. Some dude from England.
Oh, project head Dr. Philip Alveda. Technology's chief.
Yeah, so they've basically...
They're looking to build a $10 device the size of two nickels stacked on top of each other that could deliver images without the need for glasses or similar technology.
They called it a cortical modem that would basically plug directly into your nerves, your neurons, and be able to give you like a heads-up display that only you could see. That, I mean, that wasn't like projected or anything. It was just basically added to your what you see through your nerves, your neurons. Yeah,
you'd kind of be like Terminator.
Yes, exactly.
Or RoboCop. You'd have a little because they're saying it would look like an early LED clock.
Right.
So it'd definitely give it that early Terminator kind of vibe.
Exactly. I mean, that would be pretty freaking wild. And, like, people would never... I mean, it sounds like people would not know if you were using this display or not. So,
yeah, I mean, you could bury two nickels somewhere. I guess it probably would have to go to a certain area. But I would imagine that you could cover skin over it, and maybe you'd just have a little bump back there or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't a whole lot of meat on the back of your head or on the back of your neck.
Yeah, I don't know if there would be a bump or not, but... You know, if you're wearing a coat or something, no one's going to notice anyway.
Yes, because I wear a coat all day long. And when I'm just sitting at my desk, I have my my jacket on, lapels up.
Right. Well, no, people would kind of start to know when someone had this done, because they would be wearing a coat like all the time, every day.
You just start wearing turtlenecks.
Yes.
Kevin, I've never seen you wear a turtleneck before.
It seems like ever since last week, you've just been wearing nothing but turtlenecks. What's up?
Yeah, that might give things away.
Like, I think he's got one of those displays now. But yeah, that would be pretty crazy. I mean, you'd be able to, theoretically, at one point down the road, be able to play an app game at dinner without your significant other being aware of it.
Yeah.
This could revolutionize... the dining out experience.
Right. And that was one of those things where when Google Glass came out.
Right.
I just thought that it looked so damn silly.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Like, no matter. I'm like, you're just going to look goofy wearing that. Like, there's no two ways about this. And if you just have even a little bump in the back of your neck, oh, my gosh. That's way better than wearing Google Glass.
Exactly. And you wouldn't have to use like voice commands that are kind of awkward, you know, with other people around, because that was how Google Glass was controlled. And,
right.
It also did look kind of goofy. There were, there was at least one Tumblr devoted to white men wearing Google Glass, and you know, it takes scrolling through. It drives the point home that they look pretty dorky.
Yes, they do. They look pretty bad.
But yeah, so this would completely remove that. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, there's no two ways about that. I don't know if I'd want to get that done. Like, that just seems like a little too much, in my opinion. Like, that's one of those things. I guess I'd understand if you'd want to do it, but I feel like I want to have some control over the electronic devices in my life. And at least being able to set it down, to me, would be kind of nice. It is nice.
Well, I mean, would you be able to maybe turn it off? If you could do that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's still kind of weird. You kind of definitely have this tracker. At least you can forget your phone.
That's the upside to a phone, is that you can forget it.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's the killer app for the phone.
No, if you really don't want to be found, you don't need to take your phone with you.
True enough.
But if you have something buried in your neck, you're going to end up like Neo with someone trying to suck it out of your belly button.
Exactly, yeah. That's where we're all going to end up.
Yep, we're all going to end up in the Matrix.
Giant spiders in our belly buttons. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of looks like a langoustine to me.
A langoustine?
Yeah, it's more like a giant shrimp kind of
Okay.
thing. Like it crawled more like a... more like a spider, I guess. But to me, the shape of it reminded me more of something like that.
Interesting. Well, I don't think I've ever heard of such a thing before. So, I learned something today.
I can't believe that you didn't see those ever when we were watching Iron Chef back in the day.
I don't know. I guess I never. Maybe I just. They were still alive when they had them on Iron Chef.
I don't know if they would have been alive or not.
Yeah, see, I might have needed to see them alive to actually get the kind of the picture of them.
Yeah.
And compare it to these, whatever they pulled out of Neo's belly button.
I understand.
But what I don't understand, Kevin, is how we got onto talking about this from our earlier topic.
What, DARPA?
Yes.
Well, I tried to segue into Google Glass, but you wanted to keep on talking about...
No. I mean, yeah. I mean, you were already talking about Google Glass, but...
Yeah. There was... we felt like a related article. Like, I guess I didn't realize that Google Glass was called Kaput until... again, until you sent me this article.
Yeah, I guess around the end of January... they released a statement that said something like, "We're going to put it on hiatus." So they are in some ways going back to the drawing board here to kind of regroup and come up with a new Google Glass 2.0, seems like.
Yeah, and it was interesting. The accounting that you sent me was what went wrong with Google Glass.
Yeah, this was an article in the... well, NewYorkTimes.com, and I was going to try to see who wrote it, but it was an interesting story in that it kind of shows you, or it kind of takes you a little bit behind the scenes to some of the drama that was going on at the time, and how much people were disagreeing about what made the most sense to do with Google Glass.
Yeah, they got a lot of anonymous quotes to fill out this story.
Yeah.
For fear, since they were still working at Google, that something worse could happen.
Right. So yeah, the one, I hadn't realized that the, one of the Google founders, Sergey Brin, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I think that seems correct.
Was kind of the one, the founder who was most involved with the, Glass project. And, comes across as kind of getting caught up in his own hubris a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and he seemed that they said that he was pretty, I wouldn't say flighty is the right word, but he liked to start new projects, but they implied that he might not like to finish them.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That came across in the article. So he kind of like, you know, basically, if you believe that he's that kind of person, whether you do or not or whatever, it seems like he did in this case.
Yeah, in all accounts, considering that it's done, he could not talk his other co-founders into continuing this project.
Right. It's
or at least under his tutelage, he has not been able to do so.
Yeah, it seems like he kind of ran in there and basically said, oh man, we got to put this out there and let people see it. It's like so cool, you know. But what they had wasn't really ready for that, you know.
Yeah, they definitely drove home the point that even in the time after its debut, they're like, man, it's going to be years before we do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like next year, like, you know, at least a couple of years. They're like, no, we can't release this.
They had like battery issues, like problems with this software, and
yeah,
they got a lot of bad reviews from people.
They had all the regular new computer problems.
Right.
Plus, you're trying to go even smaller with even more functionality.
Yeah, I mean, to have that, like, projector thing or whatever that beams the display onto your eye so you can see.
Right.
I mean, that was, like, such cool technology, I think, that, like, everybody was so interested in it. But when it turned out to not be ready for prime time, like, people really turned on it.
Yeah, nobody gave it good reviews, which was kind of funny. Well, not kind of funny, but I guess, again, it's not to be expected. Or to me, not unexpected. Like, if you're going to release something that you know isn't going to be ready for years, you've got to be bracing for bad reviews.
Well, yeah, I think that I guess compared this to what would happen if it was an Apple product, like, there's no way they would have come out with it before it was, like, perfected to where they wanted it to be, you know?
Right.
And so I think if they had gone about it that way, obviously hindsight being 2020, things would have turned out very differently, but you know, I guess we wouldn't have heard about this until, you know, I don't know, a couple years from now. So, like, somebody is, you know, they've got this new person working on it, and I forget, I don't know if maybe it wasn't in this article, but
yeah, I do remember seeing it at some point, but maybe it wasn't in this one or not.
But it sounds like they're going to kind of regroup and huddle around and kind of get everything all worked out again before they release it. So,
Yeah, and then I wasn't surprised either that part of the drama behind the scenes was drama in the bedroom. That always makes a story better.
It did. It did make a story better, too. Like that
Surgeon Brin
that we were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, I forgot that he probably couldn't talk his co-owners into it because he decided to sleep with one of his employees. While he was still with his wife, who had their two children.
Yes, and the employee that he had the affair with and ended up getting together with, her boyfriend also worked at Google, just to throw another monkey wrench into the works there.
Yeah, it was an all Google thing going on there.
And the girl and wife apparently were friends, which was the last twist of the wrench there. So yeah, that's quite this tale. So apparently there was a lot of blowback after that, and Brin was kind of like on the outs around Google for a while.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Hard to defend your product when you've put yourself in even bigger hot water.
Right, and this kind of thing from DARPA, I mean, could really kind of leapfrog over a Google Glass-like product, I would say.
Well, and that's the thing that was interesting to me when you sent me that. I was like, this is, to me, just a far more functional thing to do, too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I guess that's what I was saying. There's no glass, there's no real looking goofy.
Right. There's nothing that kind of like throws people off if they're talking to you, you know? It's just like you're
yeah, you're just thinking what you want to pop up.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I've seen these like handheld keyboard, like one-handed keyboards too. Like, I don't know if it would be something like that where you can like kind of hit different keys and different combinations to spell out words. So I don't know if I mean, however it worked, the display would just be like, no one would see anything from the outside, you know?
Oh, right.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, we're getting closer to some pretty crazy stuff, so it makes you wonder if, you know, you just never know, like, what could pop out behind the curtain next, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes. And that, my friend, was the best segue that we've had all day.
Boom. You know, it took us a little while to get up to speed here, but now
that would be the proverbial three-point dagger. If we want to continue to just hint at what the last topic is. Sure. I have not watched much college basketball recently.
I can't say that I really ever have, so that's not a change for me.
Yeah, the distractions for the free throws has been a thing for a while now. Ever since you could really print anything very large at a minimal cost, which hasn't been until the last few years, they started using all these different heads for people to look at, and they kind of bobble them through the crowd recently. This Arizona State set of fans, or set of students, really, they upped the game.
Yeah.
In the distraction territory. It's called the curtain of distraction. And
I really love
hilarious
this idea. Yeah.
That they have a black curtain up until the guy goes to take a free throw, then it comes down and people are just doing different weird shit.
Yeah, it's just like completely random stuff can be going on.
There can be people with horse heads. There are evidently people. There's the Elvis.
Did you watch the?
Oh, I did not watch the video here.
I don't know if we need to mute it, maybe. But
yeah, I'll mute it. Just.
Oh, the soundtrack is, what's that song, Footin' with the Devil? What's it called? I don't know. I never understood the lyrics to it, but yeah, they have these curtains, these black curtains that are on the PVC frame, and right before the free throw, they part the curtains, and some bizarre scene is going on, you know, with like unicorns, strange props. Like a guy,
a man dressed in a diaper.
Yes.
And it was kind of funny that they've looked at the game since they've instituted this this act, and they believe that it is not random coincidence that it has cost the away team 1 or 2 points per game.
Statistically speaking,
compared to all their other road games, they have scored less at Arizona State, and they think it's because the crowd of distraction. And the one thing they did point out, or the I just said crowd of distraction, but it's
the curtain of distraction. Yes. I knew what you meant.
But, it's only used during the second half.
Well, yeah, because...
Because the student section is only in one half, which makes sense.
Yeah, they switch sides of the court in the second half, and that's when they would be shooting free throws at facing the student section. Basically just saying the same thing you just did.
And then it was, they pointed, this was the interesting thing to me too, that they were 11-11, so they were pretty much terrible. And they beat number 6 Arizona this past weekend. And Arizona missed 4 free throws on that end of the court. They lost by 3 points. But they missed it. Now, it would be interesting to see if they compared what the shooters' average free throw attempts were in these numbers that cost them the point or two per game. Because maybe they just would have missed them anyway. Maybe they're not a good foul shooter. I didn't see anything listed like that, and I thought of it just right now.
You know what? That's not bad. I mean, I guess they could, but I guess they looked at like how good the teams were overall, and saw that they were not weaker than normal. But you raise an interesting question: if somehow they were all individually bad at free throws, or in some teams were really bad at it for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, some teams just aren't that good at it. Like I always remember the coach for Arizona is Sean Miller, and he was one of my favorite players growing up. He played for Pitt, and he shot like 91 or 92% at the free throw line. But that was freakishly good. You know, most people are usually in the 70s somewhere. I don't know if that average has gone up or gone down. I know I've seen some clangers. Like Shaquille O'Neal come around, and I think the LeBron James and the Kobe Bryants of the world are a little bit better.
It seems like
at that
you should be able to do pretty well at that. Like you're not that really that far away from the basket. I don't know. Maybe it is just
there's some technique to it,
right? I guess it's like you
and the fact that you're stationary. I mean, you're not usually stationary when you're shooting. You know, you can hop into it or, you know, kind of jump into it. You can't really jump at the free throw. I think you're actually allowed to jump, you just can't cross the line. But no one really jumps to shoot a free throw. It's all just kind of, you got to get a nice arc on it, get under it, lift the calf muscles up a little bit. You got to do a little bit of work to to hit your free throws correctly.
I wish that we had a video
feed. Bend the knees.
I wish we had a video feed so our listeners could see Kevin's free throw technique here. He was giving a demonstration along with the verbal description. But, yeah, I think to me what really makes this successful, if it does seem that way through the stats.
Right.
Which I think there's probably debate either way, but...
Well, it's not like they're claiming that it's a 10-point swing or anything like that. They're saying 1 or 2 points. Like, it's not that big of a swing, but, I mean, it can help you out. Sure. And sometimes things are just timely. Like, maybe it happens at a good time, that extra missed free throw.
Right.
And it helps keep the momentum in your favor or something. Rather than things getting closer for the other team.
That could happen. And to me, I think what makes this effective, if it does, is this idea of the curtain, like, opening. Because in the surprising, you know, thing, it's like you don't... In some ways, I think, like, you don't want to miss out on it, you know, as... Even as a shooter, like, you want to kind of see, like, what's going to happen.
Yeah, it would be really hard to concentrate on that, because the other stuff that I was talking about was almost always constantly moving. You know, it's more just, like, the chance and their actions and everything.
Right.
So it didn't start out as some stationary thing. Like, I feel like... When you're watching something that's moving and it continues to move, you can kind of tune it out. But when you have that motionless curtain sitting there and you have it opening up to something that's going to happen, right. You know, you go from non-action to action.
Like, I wonder if, like, even you don't look, are you still, like, a little bit thinking, like, I wonder what it's going to be. Maybe it's going to, you know, maybe what if it's, you know, like, in some ways it's still... You know, in your head a little bit there.
It could be.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty ingenious. I'm not sure. There needs to be a follow up story where they kind of talk to people who actually started this thing.
This is certainly one of the reasons why I do enjoy watching college sports. The corporate atmosphere that pervades most professional sports these days does not really happen at the college level, because there are still those crazy college kids there drinking entirely too much and going to the game making asses out of themselves.
Still have lots of energy and they're drinking lots of alcohol.
Yeah, well, I would imagine when they're actually in there, they... Because I don't think they're allowed to sell alcohol on premises anymore at the NCAA games.
Okay. I don't think they ever did at Penn State, but maybe that was just there.
So, yeah, you'd have to either sneak it in under your maybe diaper in some situations.
Sure. If you're a giant man dressed in a diaper, preparing to watch the game. you're not allowed to, like, go shirtless, probably, right? Or maybe you are as a fan.
I would think so. I mean, it's just shirtless.
But don't they, I mean, they serve food there, so it's like no shirt, no shoes,
service. Well, you can't get food.
Interesting.
You know? I guess just the food's off limits, maybe.
So that diaper guy really has got to commit there to not eating.
I don't think he's eating. And he looks like he's eating plenty when he's not at the basketball game, too.
You're saying he could miss eating for the, you know, 90 minutes of a basketball game or however long they last?
Yeah. I think he can take the two and a half hours out and fast for that time.
Yeah, well...
I believe in him.
He's a noble, that's a noble sacrifice on his part.
He's an inspiration to college students everywhere.
Exactly. In the wider world, I would say.
Oh, man.
On that note.
Yeah, on that note, I guess college students aren't the only ones, who drink beer. I still drink my hashtag Sippy Time beers. I have cut back a little bit again here. And one that I you brought up today, right here in Columbus, Seventh Son's Seventh Son, which is an excellent American strong ale. It has a nice grapefruitiness. It has good bitterness to it. And it has a nice kind of malt base to it. So it has a little bit of everything that you could want in a beer, in my opinion. So it's an excellent one.
Yeah, if you come through this way, I think it tastes pretty good out of the can as well. So get some to go and bring it back in a can. It'll keep for you.
And if you're not into that, Ken had the Samuel Adams Winter Lager.
Yeah, it's not blowing me away exactly, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just not in the mood for the winter lager, but
yeah, I had a couple of those at the Winter Beer Fest, and I did it at the end of the night, which I think was a bad plan because my taste buds were a little shot at that point anyway, and to have that much spice going in was probably a bad plan.
Gotcha.
Should have gone a little bit lighter.
Not an end of the night beverage.
No, not in my opinion. So,
well, the winter beers they tend to be heavy.
Yeah, yes, they are. And right now, winter is heavy with cold.
Oh, for sure.
So, for at Gozer 33, myself at Frango 11, in general at Stunt Granny. You kids have a warmer time for your 34th than us.